It is 2:45 Central Standard Time, 3:45 Chicago Daylight Saving Time. The temperature in Chicago now, 80 degrees, humidity 21%. Time now for another transcribed WLS Prairie Farmerland story told by our prairie traveler, Enoch Squires. You know, this is the day Enoch tells us about his trip to Kalamazoo, Michigan, where he witnessed a performance of the famous Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra conducted for the past 17 years by our own Herman Felber. Now, here's Enoch.
Today, I venture into the realm of music by talking about celery and a symphony orchestra. Both are synonymous with music, depending on what kind of tune one gets by champing down on a stalk of celery. Inasmuch as this story takes us up to Kalamazoo, Michigan, I can hardly overlook that thriving city's contribution to the American dining table. It was here in 1856 that a Scot by the name of James Taylor imported seed from England to grow Kalamazoo's first celery crop. He introduced the celery publicly, so goes the story, at a banquet in a local hotel. The new vegetable was something less than a success. Some diners scoffed at it. A few even considered it a poisonous weed. Several years later, in 1865 or thereabouts, a Dutchman reintroduced celery by having his children peddle it from door to door. His youngsters apparently were convincing celery salesmen. From this small beginning came the impetus that converted Kalamazoo swamplands into rich croplands and made celery big business for that city. Years later, though you don't see this today, no passenger train stopped in Kalamazoo without celery vendors tramping up and down the aisles to sell it by the bunch to train riders. Well, that takes care of our agricultural history lesson for today, so let's move along to the growth and cultivation of an equally remarkable undertaking, the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra. Its membership is made up of 84 musicians, some professional, the rest amateurs. Its chairs are occupied by printers, a millwright, college students, a real estate salesman, housewives, a jeweler, chemist, department store clerk, music teachers, public accountants, pipe organ maker, physician, and so on. A while ago, one of the nation's major radio networks carried a broadcast by this symphony. When it was over, one of the network's production officials declared, "While this orchestra may not be as technically perfect as some professional full-time orchestras, the members of the Kalamazoo Symphony play with so much gusto and happy feeling that the music sounds much more alive, as though the musicians were not doing it as a chore that had to be done." This same executive backed that up by saying the network had not picked up a symphony orchestra in any city of less than 500,000 population to equal it. In fact, few cities of that population can boast a full symphony orchestra. Kalamazoo, I think, has only 60,000 population or thereabouts, so that indeed was a compliment. Fewer still have a record to equal at Kalamazoo's of a symphony orchestra in continuous operation for 29 consecutive years. Take Portland, Oregon, 400,000 population. Its attempt at symphonic culture dies out periodically. The people of Kalamazoo enjoy, as a rule, a schedule of 7 symphonic concerts each season. Frequently, notable musicians are brought to their city to appear as guest artists with the orchestra. In the past, these have included Arthur Rubinstein, Percy Grainger, Hosea Turvey, Pat Agorski, and the like. Usually, these famous performers get quite a charge, in the idiom of today, in working with the Kalamazoo Symphony. In fact, it isn't a matter of working, they say, but expressing music for the sheer joy of it, with people who feel likewise, free of the supercritical atmosphere so often evident in the concert halls of the larger metropolitan centers. One illustrious soloist directed his talents into a different channel. In fact, he was the orchestra's very first guest artist, and this goes back all the way to a January night in 1923. Following the overture, a young, dark-haired man walked out of the wings to stand before the orchestra and sing, "Hear Me, Ye Winds and Waves," by Handel. Perhaps this selection was prophetic, for he was indeed heard. He eventually made quite a noise as the governor of an eastern state, who twice was named by the GOP as its candidate for the United States presidency. You may have heard of him, his name being Thomas E. Dewey. One old-timer who remembered Tom Dewey's performance described him as an excellent baritone, but very dignified. The Indians had a name for Kalamazoo. They called it in their day Key Kalamazoo. It meant the place where the water boils. This was due to the hundreds of springs which bubbled up from the river bottom at that point. In some respects, in tracing the history of the Kalamazoo Symphony, you soon find that many persons had to bubble and boil like so many springs to make possible the flow and force of this organization. Its stature was not obtained without going through considerable growing pains, for musicians are, in the main, a temperamental lot. The early minutes of the organization contain entries of a member now and then who flared up and broke away and had to be wooed back. What was hinted here when, in one meeting, a resolution was passed as follows: the privilege of the members of the orchestra to ask questions or offer suggestions is not to exceed 15 minutes. However, nothing ever swayed the orchestra from its original objective, quote, to establish in Kalamazoo a permanent orchestra for the production of a better class of music, unquote. It has long since crowned that objective with success, and in addition, through its annual auditions to uncover promising talent, encouraged numerous young men and women of southwestern Michigan to develop their careers in such outstanding music schools as Eastman, Juilliard, and Curtis. Let's meet some of the men and women who make up this orchestra. We'll go backstage in just a moment.
You know, friends, Chicago is a big town, a working town, and it's grown up fast. As its industries have grown, people have come here in increasing numbers. Many living areas are crowded, and the housing shortage just aggravates the situation. Crowding brings problems. A big one during the summer months when children are out of school is recreation. Chicago has a recreation problem, but it also has some answers. And one of these answers is that of day camps for children, including handicapped children. The city's neighborhood centers and children's agencies organize these and take the children out of the city during the day, out to the greenness of the forest preserves, to the safety of the city's parks. This program needs volunteers to go with these children, to help direct games with activities like painting and music, with outdoor cooks and picnics. Now, you can do much as a volunteer to make this summer an enjoyable one for the children who can't get away. And you'll be out in the sun and the air yourself. For further details on becoming a day camp volunteer, call the Volunteer Bureau at Randolph 68571. That's Randolph 68571. Now back to In Exquires.
Last Friday, in the company of our Jimmy James, WLS National Barn Dance comedian, who, by the way, had part in it, I went up to Kalamazoo to attend the orchestra's postseason fun night. The program was a delightful mixture of classical refinement and acts in which the musicians let down their hair. Its purpose was to raise money to make up the past season's deficit and to assure funds for certain projects next season, such as children's concerts, new purchases for the music library, and the repair of instruments. As the orchestra gathered behind the curtain of Central High School Auditorium, I made my way backstage. A little gray-haired man, not up to 5 feet, was keying a harp that towered over him. It was a pleasure to meet Vincent Finelli, who retired from the Philadelphia Orchestra in 1929 after 17 years as harpist with that great organization. His hands are not as limber as they used to be, but he plays a lot of handball to keep in trim. The Kalamazoo Symphony is rich for having his talent. Many years ago, Otto Wimmler played the piccolo and drums in the bands of Tsar Nicholas and Kaiser Wilhelm. Today, you find him standing behind a string bass in the Kalamazoo Symphony. The bass player next to him has had no professional orchestral experience, I was told. His name is Clark Stenbleicher, a name well known throughout the Midwest as a custom maker and repairman of pipe organs. In the French horn section are the gentlemen Goviar, two of them. One is William Goviar, Jr., a 14-year-old schoolboy, and the other is his father, William Govier, M.D., research specialist in heart disease. But how about this for a family of musicians? William Carman, life insurance agent, is spotted in the cello section. Nearby are his wife, Helene, and his mother-in-law, Mrs. Hazel Davis, both violinists. Of 84 members, some 13 or 14 have reached the grandpa or grandma stage of life. The age range runs from 14 to 74. At least half the members are women. One of the fair sex is Mrs. Lawrence Smith, violinist. "Put down my occupation as a housewife mother," she said. "I have four boys, from 5 months to 7 years." She not only finds time, but exhilaration in the joining in the orchestra's activities. Throughout the orchestra runs a glowing sense of its obligation to future generations in Kalamazoo. Special concerts for children are dedicated to help the city's youth grow up with an understanding and appreciation of music. At its formal concerts, it maintains a symphony nursery. This is one of the school classrooms where the very young children can be entertained while parents enjoy the performance. The youngsters are herded to reserved space in the gallery where they can listen to one or two numbers. That's enough of a dose for a wee child, but at least it leads him to the start of perhaps a lifelong appreciation of good music. Then, during intermission, various members of the orchestra drift back to the nursery so that the youngsters can hear and see a few instruments at close range, usually in such ditties as Farmer in the Dell or Pop Goes the Weasel. In the words of Beth C. Bailey, who writes a feature titled Orchestra Personalities, "This is a wise investment that our players are making, for these youngsters, in a short time, will be the audience." Well, after a brief stay backstage, I went out front and took a seat just as the curtains parted. From the wings quickly strode a distinguished, white-haired gentleman, the conductor of the symphony for 17 years. Proud indeed was I of him, for he has been a good friend of mine since the day I signed on this station. His name, Herman Felder, director of music here at WLS. The performance began with the violins, cellos, and basses moving through the opening strains of Nicolai's Merry Wives of Windsor. All I know about music is that some of it sends me and some of it gripes me. This was the kind that I like to soak up. In fact, as I expressed it to someone, it lifted me right up into the ceiling. Being no music critic, however, limits me to saying that the Kalamazoo Orchestra seemed to break clean in the clinches. I'll buy it again anytime. Harold Shear, a wax specialist who not only plays a big golden trombone in the orchestra but serves as its personnel manager, described Mr. Felber as a musician's musician. Then he went on to say, "We enjoy playing under him because of his caliber as a conductor. Not only does he know how to get us to achieve our best, but he's very patient and shows us how to correct our flaws." During the regular season, Mr. Felber travels out to Kalamazoo once weekly, a round trip of 284 miles, to rehearse the orchestra. He, in turn, gives all credit to the orchestra for its success. My position here is to encourage him. If a musician pulls a blooper, he gets a smile instead of a frown. The result is I usually get a rendition suggesting that these men and women are playing better than they know how to play. That's the trick. And so it is. With best wishes, this is the old prairie traveler, Enoch Squires.
Friends, tomorrow our prairie traveler browses among the pages of an old history book to give us an account of several little-known happenings of the Civil War. Portions of this program were transcribed. Say, veterans, here's something worthwhile. It's a tip for those of you who find it necessary to write letters to the Veterans Administration for information or help about your benefits. Now-